right now on the telephone, we have another WTIP member, not only a member, but a broadcaster. And right now he's owned by Bear Grief's sled dog race because he's a marshal for the whole race. And it's nice to have Matthew Brown on the telephone. Thanks so much for joining us, Matt.
Oh, thanks, Buck. It's good to hear your voice, and it's good to be on the Roadhouse. Well, it's snowing pretty good. And
yeah.
Right now they're forecasting 3 to 6 inches right here in the Duluth area.
Okay.
And I think they're forecasting more up the shore.
Yep, so 6 inches to a foot.
Yeah, we're all smiling because that's perfect for a dog race.
And I guess.
In previous years, the biggest concern is always, is there enough snow? And we've had to cancel a couple years ago. And this is the first year where we just don't have to worry about it, and every place looks really, really good.
That is great. So you are the race marshal, and the race starts in Duluth at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Is that right?
That is correct.
And where exactly does it start in Duluth?
It starts Jean Duluth Road and Riley Road, which is up by Billy's Bar, which is used to be the first checkpoint, but because we started in town,
mm-hmm.
but we don't start in town anymore, so we start out by Billy's Bar out there. It's just north of Duluth by about 8 miles or so, and it's a great area. Plenty of parking. They're actually running shuttles from UMD all day Sunday to get you up there and back. So it's a great little spot up there.
Okay. And how long is the overall race, Matthew?
Well, there's two races going on. There's the marathon race, which is 390 miles, and then there's the mid-distance race, which is about 150 miles. And the mid-distance goes from Duluth, and they make a stop in Finland, and then they finish in Tofte, Minnesota, and they'll finish Monday, about 8 in the morning or so until noon. And then the marathon race starts and goes up to Trail Center and up on the Gunflint Trail and then turns around and heads back down to Duluth. And they finish sometime late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning.
And the marathon is how many miles?
About 390.
Wow. Okay.
It's a long way.
Yeah, it is. Now, I've heard people calling it, I've been hearing, you know, news coverage about it this week, and I've heard people call it the toughest dog sled race in the lower 48. What makes it so challenging?
The trail. And if you've ever been on the trail going up the North Shore there. I know there's lots of running races and there's a hiking trail and things like that. There is lots and lots of hills, lots of ups and lots of downs. And most people don't have such big hills like that when they're training. A lot of our racers, some are from here, but we have quite a few from the Montana and Wyoming and Oregon area, and they just don't have that type of hill to run on. It really comes down to the hills. And then, of course, throw in the temperature. And some of the places we go to, we stop, go through Two Harbors and go through Finland, Minnesota, and Trail Center, and those are notoriously extremely cold places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at the forecast here, and for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday along the shore in Grand Marais anyway, it says highs of around 7 and lows of about 5 below. Is that pretty typical for this race?
That's pretty typical for what they say, but usually when we're at in Two Harbors and Finland and even Trail Center, it's much colder at those places. We bring our thermometers there, and those places are quite a bit colder, it seems like, than what they forecast. So, you know, and what we like to see for the dogs is, I like to say anywhere from 10 above to 10 below is perfect weather for the dogs. They really like that. So I think we're right in the mix.
Right in that zone, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this some kind of a qualifying race for other dog sled races?
Well, you know, if someone was to move onward, going, you know, the next big race, if they wanted to do it, would be the Iditarod, which is in March in Alaska. And it is a qualifier for that.
Mm-hmm.
If they do meet all the requirements, it's just finishing, have proper dog care, things like that. So a lot of the racers who do want to do the Iditarod, this is one where they can come and fill that qualifier. I think each musher has to run one or two races of at least 350 miles to get into the Iditarod.
Okay. And how many racers do you have in each of the races this year?
Well, in the marathon race, we have 17 this year. and about 38 in the short race. And we had bigger numbers, actually, but just about everybody that had entered from the eastern part of the United States, the northeastern part, your Vermont and New Hampshire, all had to drop out because there's been no snow in that area.
Really?
There's been a lot of snow. There's been a lot of snow along the eastern seaboard, but nothing inland. So we unfortunately lost quite a few mushers. They just didn't have the ability to train like they would.
Here,
want
I thought
to.
You were going to say that they couldn't get here because of the recent storms out there. Oh my
no.
gosh! Totally the opposite.
Totally the opposite.
Huh? Interesting. Well, Matthew, what we introduced you as the race marshal. Could you explain a little bit about what the race marshal does?
Well, I have, being as a race marshal, which means I'm kind of like the chief judge, then there's five other judges along with me. And we go up and down the race course, and we make sure that the rules are followed. And some of the rules, they kind of range from mandatory equipment and trail etiquette, making sure that they run the trail properly, and like to see that they're cleaning up on the trail if they stop to feed their dogs. Also, checking them out at checkpoints and making sure they clean up after the checkpoints. We kind of like to leave no trace as best as possible. Also, looking at their rest time, each musher has to rest 28 hours in the marathon and 8 in the mid distance, and those are required. So we're always checking times and making sure that everybody is got their the right amount of rest time in for the race. And then also we work with the vets. And there's about 20 vets that'll be up and down the race course, and they'll be looking at the dogs. They'll start tomorrow morning and check all the dogs out before the race, and then they'll check them throughout the race up and down the trail. And we're there just to make sure, to support the vets and make sure that if a dog needs to be dropped out for any physical reasons or whatnot, that can happen without any problems. So it's a lot of standing out in the cold, is what it turns out to.
It sounds that way. Now, so do you have the ability, I mean, if someone is doing something that isn't right, do they get fined or docked points or something, or how does that work?
Well, it depends. If they did something wrong, there's two choices, either a time penalty, which will affect them at the end of the race, or a monetary penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So either one can be enforced, or both, depending on the severity of the penalty.
And do you have to do that very often?
On occasion. Most of them are pretty small, and if the racer is going to finish, we don't like to, if they haven't done anything too bad, we don't like to affect their race status too much. A lot of the penalty minutes are anywhere from the 3 to 10 minute range. And if a team is not going to finish the race, then their time might not count. So then we give them a monetary penalty anywhere from $10 to $50, depending.
So when you do this, when you say it's a lot of standing around in the cold, do you arrive at certain points before the teams are going to come through, or how do you decide where you're going to be at any given time?
Well, we stage the judges. We kind of leapfrog over each other all the way up the trail, and so there's always a judge at the checkpoint before the mushers get there, and there's always a judge right to the very end. And my job, being the race marshal, is I stay with the lead team, so I'm always the first judge into the checkpoint, and then I'll wait for another one to get there, and then I'll go down to the next point, because I kind of stay with the leaders as they're moving.
Mm-hmm. And so are you driving on a parallel road, or how are you traveling?
Mostly just right up 61. Just straight up 61 and detouring off to Two Harbors, which is the first checkpoint, and then out and up to Beaver Bay, and then to Sawmill, and then up to Devil's Track and Trail Center. And so it's right along. It's just driving right along the North Shore. Once up and once back, but it takes me 3 days to do it.
Well, when do you sleep?
Well, that's always the key thing. You know, the mushers are never sleeping. They're going all the time, and they stop to take their breaks. They get their 28 hours. And then we just find sleep wherever we can. And usually it's in a car. That's kind of like the best we can do, I guess. We try to get as much as possible, but unfortunately not a whole lot.
So when the mushers rest, where are they resting?
they're resting right in the checkpoints. The rules are stated that they can't leave the checkpoint to go to a hotel or anything, unless there's a hotel right there. Most of the mushers are resting in, they'll pull trailers, and they'll rest in a trailer, or they'll rest in their truck, in the cabs of their truck. It kind of depends on what the musher has for a setup.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Like, where do you rest out in the dark and cold?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a tough one, but there are some, they have, lots of them have fashioned different types of trailers into campers and things like that. That allows them to pull the dogs and have a place to sleep in that trailer.
Mm-hmm. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Matthew Brown of Grand Marais. He is the race marshal for the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon that starts this Sunday. It's the 28th running of that race. Matthew, talk a little bit, if you would, about the checkpoints, what happens at a checkpoint, and then, you know, where, what are the best checkpoints where people can come and watch?
Right. Well, the checkpoints are where the teams come in, and that's where we can keep track of them along the way. So they come in there, and we take their time, and they might stay at that checkpoint, or they might just move on. It's up to the musher. That's their strategy, how they figure things out. Where are they going to take that rest? They have 28 hours to take, and they get to divide it up amongst all the checkpoints. The first checkpoint coming on Sunday afternoon, they start at 1, and they'll be there by about 4 o'clock or so. And that's at the Two Harbors checkpoint. And most of the marathon teams, I would say there's 17 teams, I'd say over half of them will probably go straight through Two Harbors is their strategy, and they'll go straight to Beaver Bay at that checkpoint, be there about midnight, Sunday night. And usually they'll take some rest there, anywhere from 4 to 6 hours. But the marathon or the mid-distance race, they'll go to Two Harbors, and most all of them will rest there because that's their only one of their only rest points there. They have that place to rest, and they have Finland, so they break it up in between those two places. So for the marathon, they'll go probably straight through to Beaver Bay, most all of them will, and then take some rest, and then head up to the Sawbill checkpoint and be there anywhere from 6 a.m. Monday morning onward up through noon or so. And that's right up the Sawbill Trail from Highway 61.
So if people want to come out to a checkpoint, I mean, is it pretty clear where it is? Are there places to park and all that? And what should people expect to see?
Well, at most places, the parking is pretty good. There is some walking involved, though, with all the extra snow and things like that. When you get to a place like Sawbill, it is what we call a wilderness checkpoint. So that way the musher does not have any help from his handlers and the truck, and they can't get to the truck. So we've already done a shipment for them, and they've packaged up all their needs into some burlap bags, and we'll drop those off at the checkpoint. So it's a pretty neat checkpoint, because when the musher hits there, they're on their own. They'll have their cook stove. They'll be melting water and feeding the dogs and caring for the dogs, and the dogs are staked out in the trees. And that is where it's located is if you go to the Sawbill Trail right on 61 there and turn on up there, it's about, I'll probably say like 7 or 8 miles up on the Sawbill Trail. And it's a really neat place actually, because all the trucks aren't there, and it's kind of a nice wilderness checkpoint. And this year there's going to be all sorts of things going on there. There's going to be a lot of winter camping going on, so you'll be able to see how people camp in the winter, and they're going to have some gourmet barbecue going on.
Ooh.
And a big sponsor of that is the Stone Harbor Wilderness Supply in Grand Marais is going to be doing a lot of stuff down at the Sawbill Checkpoint. So that's really great that they're going to get into the race and kind of do their little winter camping area and barbecuing going on there. So that should be a pretty fun place there at the Sawbill Checkpoint. And the teams will rest there, you know, 4 to 6 hours, and then leave on up to the Gunflint Trail. And they'll be there sometime about 7 o'clock on Monday night. And that's a good place to see teams come in, because you have the trail center there. There's always good food. There's a building to warm up. And Sarah always puts on a great show up there. There's always a nice fire going on. And it's a great place to go up and see the teams come in, and you can see them resting. Most teams do stay there probably anywhere another from 4 to 6 hours there, take a good long rest. because that, in theory, is the halfway point. And actually, this year, the Gunflint Trail and the Trail Center is, besides giving the first musher in a dinner, they're also giving them a $2,000 prize for the first musher to Trail Center, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah.
A lot of incentive to be fast coming into
a lot of incentive, you bet. I mean, they used to just get a good meal, and now they're getting a little extra cash there. And that's something that other races have done, and so the Trail Center, the Gunflint Trail, stepped up to put this on, and we think it's really great and a great way to honor the first musher in.
Do you have to have dogs to win that? Can I bring my cat up there?
Can I bring my dog, Matthew? Bye. You've met her.
It's not going to work, huh?
I doubt it's going to work. You'd have to, yeah.
There went that idea.
It sounded good, but
On paper, it sounded good. Yeah.
So I'm assuming, I shouldn't assume this, I should ask, if people want to come out to these various checkpoints, they should leave their pets at home.
Yes, as with the start and all the checkpoints, you want to leave your pets at home.
Okay.
That's a very good point.
All right.
I was going to say, each year we have to chase a few people back because they do bring their pets there, and that just doesn't work, actually.
Right. Okay. Well, lots of folks are used to traveling around with their dog. I know I am, but yeah, not the place to bring your dog.
Say, right. Matthew, I don't think it's any accident that you became race marshal of this premier race, but you've had a long history of events with dog mushing. Can you fill us in a little bit about how that got started for you, where your interest came from, and how you kind of moved up the line?
Yeah, well, actually, my first introduction into sled dog racing was back in 1986 when I was a handler for a musher in the John Berrigues race, and I did that for a couple years and really got turned on to the sport then. And then went on to some other mushing and actually did some recreational mushing and taking people out into the Boundary Waters canoe area on dog teams and doing some camping out there, which was really nice. And then moved into the racing scene again with the Grand Portage Passage sled dog race, which ran from, I think, 1997 through 2001, which was a great race up in Cook County. They don't do that one anymore, but Grand Portage is still a good sponsor of the John Berrigues race. My job up there, I was the race coordinator, so got to do a little bit of everything with the race. And then when this position opened up, they called me and asked me if I would jump in, and I was thrilled, actually, to do that, because it's a pretty neat race, and it's great for the city of Duluth and for the North Shore and all the towns, and it's just a wonderful thing.
What was it for you, Matthew? Was it the dogs themselves? Was it the silent movement through the woods? What was it that really kind of turned you on to the dog mushing?
The peace and quiet of it, mm-hmm. actually. The silence through the woods, mushing through, nice and quiet. I always loved when a deer would appear, because the dogs don't bark. All they do is speed up, and you go a little bit faster. And it's really neat, because they get really excited by it, but all they do is go faster, and you just love to run into animals like that. And things, my memories, a lot of them are the moonless nights and the stars above, and, you know, just those beautiful nights out there, and mushing a dog team nice and quiet through the woods. It was really an interesting thing, and I really took to it, liked it quite a bit for that kind of reason. And then also when I was doing the camping trips into the BWCA, that was pretty neat to share that with other people and take them out there and show them what it was like. That was pretty interesting as well.
The dogs themselves, they are interesting creatures. They just love to run. I mean, they'll pull so hard to be able to get on, to put on the team. They don't want to be left behind. Is it a challenge to know when they're getting tired, to know what the feel is for when that dog needs to rest or to be taken off the team?
Right. Well, it can be a challenge, and hopefully the mushers have put out enough miles and are really kind of intimate with their dogs and know what the dogs need. And that's what we hope for as far as the veterinary crew and the judges, making sure that they put those miles on them to make sure that they can do that, because a lot of times the dog sometimes will just want to keep go, 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 when they actually, you can kind of look at them and realize that they do need to stay and they need some rest. And that's, I think, one of the toughest things starting out the race is a lot of people will bypass the first checkpoint, maybe go a little too fast, and the musher's excited, the dogs are excited, and it can be very difficult and it can be very stressful on the dogs to do that. So what we like to see is when the mushers are going out of the start to slow down a little bit and try to take, the dogs are excited, but you want to kind of like take some of that excitement out just a little bit because you don't want them to overwork in the first 30 miles or so. It's a challenge for the musher to know when to pull it out, but that's what the veterinarians are there for, because they can certainly recommend that the dog does need rest.
Yeah, when you think of as a runner or something, you always know when you're hungry or tired or whatever's going on. But you know, you've got these dogs in front of you, and as you said, you really have to know those dogs to tell, because they're not going to be able to tell you. And if they they might not anyway. They don't want to be left behind.
Yeah, and no dog likes to be left behind. That's for sure. And the tough part with the mushers too, they got the care of 14 dogs. So you have, you know, one human and 14 dogs on the team. So you're really having to watch each dog. And so hopefully if you have that knowledge of the dog and have had the dog for quite a while and put lots of miles on it, you can kind of know their tendencies and see what dogs do when they start to get tired and things like that.
Well, what are you going to do when you start to get tired, Matthew? I know you're starting at Billy's Bar. Are you going to be able to get past that point? All right.
Well, it's cold outside. Hope so. It's cold outside. Yeah. I don't know. It's always a fun race, and it's a great crew, and, you know, there's lots of volunteers out there at all the checkpoints and the road crossings, and I just really love going to all those places and visiting with all the different people, all the volunteers that come out and will stand at a road crossing at 2, 3, 4 in the morning and have it be like 10-20 below, or stand at a checkpoint with their fingerless gloves on, writing on it, and have it be below zero. And it's just really neat to see all that energy from all these people that want to, you know, volunteer for the race and be outside in the Minnesota winter. It's kind of neat to see that kind of stuff.
And we're so lucky to have such fabulous snow for it this year.
It's very exciting. It's very exciting. And yes, and got fabulous snow, got some great teams in the race, which is really good, and got some from the Grand Marais area, which is pretty exciting. I was going to talk a little bit about them. I know from in the marathon race, there's Odin Jorgensen and Frank Moe and Matt Groth are all going to be doing the marathon race. And all of them doing pretty well this year. I know they had the White Oak Sled Dog race over in Deer River, Minnesota, a couple weekends ago, and Frank Moe took second, and Odin Jorgensen came in ninth. So good showings for those guys, and I know both of them, and I know they have been running their dogs and training and putting on miles since about October. So it's a long haul to do the Bear Grease. You have to start in early October, really, to get ready for the race, to kind of get that intimacy with the dogs and to know. And a lot of times, it's a 14-dog race, but a lot of those will train about 20 to 24 dogs, because you never know if one might not make the team or one might get a sore shoulder or something like that. So they train lots of dogs to get those 14 ones that they really like.
We've been speaking with Matthew Brown, and Matthew is the race marshal at this year's Bear Grease Dog Sled Race, and that race starts Sunday. Where again does it start from?
Right in downtown, or not in downtown Duluth, but in Duluth, and Jean Duluth and Riley Roads, which is just north of Duluth by about 8 miles or so.
And, of course, they'll be continuing up the shore with opportunities for everybody to find a checkpoint and watch them move along. And you can find that information out if you forget what Matthew has told you tonight. Matthew, there's a website, yeah. I'm sure.
Absolutely. BearGrease.com has all the information. It'll have maps and everything to all the checkpoints and the estimated times. And also the blog will start up as soon as the race starts, and we have somebody that'll be blogging and going along with the teams. So there'll be all that information on there as well. If you're wondering when the team is actually going to get there, it's a great place to find out.
Yeah, it looked like a great website, actually, full of information. And WTIP is going to be reporting on it as regularly as possible, too.
And I think there's going to be a picture of Matthew before, while he's still well-rested, on that website. He won't look the same by the time he gets up here. Matthew, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight, and best of luck with that race.
All right. Well, thanks very much for having me on.
Thanks, Matthew.
Enjoy the snow.